Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood, alongside Mary Margaret West.
Well, hello.
We are super excited about today's episode. It's camp season.
Woo.
If you hadn't noticed yet in student ministry. So some of you are about to go to camp. Some of you might be listening to this podcast on your way to camp, headphones in to drown out all the teenager noise.
On the bus.
And some of you might be coming out of camp. It's like what pastors say about a struggle. Like, you're always either going into a struggle, in a struggle, or coming out of one. It's like that with camp. But camp isn't a struggle. That went badly. But nevertheless, it's camp season, and it is a super exciting time around our office and around yours in student ministry, wherever you are across the country. Before we jump into the episode today, there are a couple things I want to say that you're probably used to hearing. One, if you haven't left a rating and review, head over to iTunes and do that. It takes about 30 seconds. Stars and words are valuable. We like 5 of them as well. So leave those ratings and reviews. If you haven't subscribed yet, hit that subscribe button while you're there, and you can have us delivered to your ears whenever we release an episode. Rhonda1713 has recently left a review, and it says, "I am a student ministry veteran in Dothan, Alabama. I've been listening to this podcast since its inception. Always great inside encouragement. Consider this podcast as an ongoing continuation of learning. Thanks for everything you guys do for student ministry, Lifeway Youth Ministry team." On behalf of the team, you're welcome, Rhonda. We like being on your team. Johnny V also says this: "Ben and the student ministry team at Lifeway have already done so much to equip and partner with student pastors. This podcast sometimes feels like I have another team member to bounce ideas off of. It is well produced." Producer Nathan,
woo!
The shout out. "It's well produced and the conversations are always helpful." Johnny V, it's a pleasure to be on your team as well. And I hope this is going to be another helpful conversation for you. You might have heard more voices in the room, and that's because we have how many? 8 people?
Yeah.
We have 8 extra people in the room. I'm going to have them go around and introduce themselves. And they're all part of our Fuge and Student Life camp teams here at Lifeway. And they are, like, as we record this, literally next week, everybody's leaving to go train and get ready for student camp. And so it's going to be awesome. I hope that you have a great summer camp this year, student pastors. And if you're not coming with Student Life or Fuge, then I hope you'll check us out next time around. So, Carrie, let's start with you. And everybody just kind of say, well, I kind of stole your thunder. But everybody say who you are and what ministry you work with, and we'll keep rolling.
Well, you are right. I am Carrie Dodson, and I work with Fuge Camps.
Great.
I'm Tanner Brack. I work for Student Life Camps.
Joe Hicks. I work with Fuge Camps.
Hey, this is Ty Kinderman, and I'm with Student Life.
Hey, everybody. This is Kyle Cravens with Fuge Camps.
Otherwise known as Flava Crave.
Flava Crave.
Hey, this is Peter McNamee. I work with Student Life Camps.
This is Alex Eric. I'm with Student Life Camps as well.
Hey, I'm Haley Hughes. I'm with Fuge.
All right. So that's everybody. And you guys that have, you're student pastors, you're in this all the time, and you know that when you go to camp, amazing things happen. God moves. It's an incredible, incredible year. Like, my life was, I wasn't saved at camp, but God did some really important things in terms of calling in my life at camps along the way. I had an interview with somebody yesterday that's interviewing for a role on one of our camp teams. And she said, I said, hey, tell me your story. And she said, I was saved at a student life camp. And so maybe some of you that are listening were saved at a camp along the way, either a Fuge camp or student life or some other camp that happens, maybe your church did your own, whatever the case may be. But you know that God moves in an incredible way.
Yep.
Another thing that moves in an incredible way is the weirdness. Like, camp provides an opportunity for the strangest, weirdest, most random things to happen. And so I don't know the stories that are about to be told. So we're going to get some funny moments at camp as a part of this podcast. But before we get to that, let's start off. Everybody that you heard introduce themselves has been on our camp team and has been involved in camp for a lot of years in their life. So we have people in this room that went to Fuge and went to Student Life growing up and now work for it. And God's done some amazing things through camp in the lives of people that work on our camp team. And I think that's something that's important for you as student pastors to know, is that these are passionate people about camp because God's done so much in them through camp. So a couple of you, let's spend some time there. Like, let's talk about what God has done in you personally as a part of a camp.
I'll kick us off. So I went to camp. I went to Fuge camps in middle school as a student. I did not want to go, but my youth pastor continued inviting me, harassing me, telling me I'd have a great time.
So point of application right there. That's good. Yes.
Harassing.
Yes. Harassing is a good idea to get students to go to camp. I'm so glad that he did, because I met Jesus at Fuge that year at Panama City Beach.
Yes.
Yes. And later down the road, both of my sisters did too, different years. And then I met my husband at camp. And so I am just like drinking the Fuge Kool-Aid.
Yeah,
I
that's
love
right.
Camp.
I knew that about you, that you came to know the Lord.
Yes.
But I didn't know that about your sisters as well.
Both of my sisters met the Lord at Fuge.
That's
so
awesome.
Camp, it's ministry that matters. It's
yeah.
a good thing.
And if you're looking for a mate.
Yes.
Then
it's camp. Also a great place to find a spouse.
That's right. After, and if you're a staffer and you happen to be listening to this, then after camp.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Right.
After
That's
camp,
right.
people.
No camp love.
That's right. That's right. It's somebody else. How God has worked in your life as a result of camp, being involved in camp?
Well, for me, I didn't go to camp as a student. I went to camp as an adult, actually right out of college. I began working with students for the first time, and the church where I was at the time always went to Fuge. And I had friends growing up that went to Fuge, but I never had the opportunity to. So my first time to go to Fuge was as an adult right out of college with a group of students, and I immediately saw like firsthand just the impact that it had on the students' lives, and obviously it impacted my life pretty significantly too. Ended up being an adult sponsor for 3 years, and that third summer is where I felt the Lord calling me to pursue Fuge as a staffer, which didn't make a lot of sense to me because I was headed down a totally different path, a career path. But I followed through with what I felt the Lord telling me to do and ended up working a summer of Fuge. And that's really where I thought it would end. Like, I had the greatest summer of my life and loved doing student ministry and being, you know, on the front lines of camp ministry. But I thought it would end there. Little did I know that the Lord was redirecting my path completely, and this is going to be summer 25 for me.
Summer 25. Well done.
And woo! I'll add to that, I also met my wife, the Fuge.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
There's a theme developing that was not purposeful.
Intended, yeah.
Yeah.
So I've attended a student life camp every year for the past 13 years. Started off
this
in middle school. This is Ty.
Yes.
Now I feel like I need to begin from the beginning.
No one else. Just keep rolling.
But camp's been a big part of my life. Every single year, it was the highlight of the year. Looking forward to that 52nd week of the year where I could go to camp, where I could, you know, sunburn the team squad into my arms as a little seventh grader, where I could just throw dodgeballs at the leaders who would teach us Bible study every day. It was awesome, and it became something I looked forward to even when I got older. Had opportunities to intern, to serve. That's where I first started learning leadership skills, where I first started understanding what it meant to actually serve and to go behind the scenes and help someone out, because we have those opportunities at Student Life to do those student things where I was a junior serving at camp. And then the dream came true. I worked 5 years on the road, and now I work full-time for Student Life. So it's so cool to see now I can serve churches in the mission of making disciples to the same churches who then were serving me when I was a kid. Mm. And so it's, I love it. I did not meet my spouse at Student Life camp. I guess not. I don't know. I'm single right now. I can. Who knows?
There's
still time. That's right.
This is
not 2019, yes. You know, because... Yeah.
The Lifeway Student Ministry Dating Podcast is what this is. That's right. So as you can see, like, this team and the ones who aren't in here would echo story after story after story of life change at camp.
Yep.
And so one of the reasons why I want you as the podcast audience to engage with that is, yes, to know that we have people who are passionate about camp working on camp 52 weeks a year for you, but at the same time, just to pause for a second in the busyness of your day or your travel or wherever you're going right now And just to think about the life change that happens at camp and that can happen in your student ministry. So wherever you are right now and whatever size church and whatever camp you're going to, like, God has something really special. And you never know what the sunburned seventh grader has in store for them over the course of their life. And you have an opportunity as that student pastor to spend a week of camp with your group, pouring into them, building those relationships, getting dodgeballs thrown at you, and making a lifetime impact. And you might not be able to see it in the moment right then, but over the course of that week, you are investing in a way that will return dividends far past those moments that you know those kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's go on to the next, to our next topic. Let's spend some time. This is the moment that I've been waiting for, because I know that they're like, everybody has, you go to enough camp and you have stories. And so I'm ready to hear some of the funny, random, weird moments of camp. Who's going to be, I want Joe to go first. And here's the reason why. Here's the reason why I want Joe to go first. If you know, if you listen to the podcast and you happen to know Joe Hicks at the same time, Joe is story man around the office. He's also been, when was your first year of Fuge ever?
Well, I attended the first year of 1979.
Yeah, so
as
Joe.
As a camper. Yeah.
Joe was a camper for the first year of Fuge. So, so dude's done a lot of camp. Yeah. So like, you got one loaded?
Okay, so I'll give you this
story.
One. Yeah, story. So staffer was leading a prayer experience and was saying, "Everybody, you know, raise your hands to the Lord." And
this is like in the worship service.
In the worship service. So they were basically saying, you know, pull down your pinky finger for the smallest person in your family that, you know, is the weakest person, and then pull down your ring fingers and think about your parents and pray for them, and then your pointer finger for leadership, and then pull down the thumb finger for, and so all these kids are around looking at their hand and they really can't believe what they're doing because they left off a very important part of the prayer experience.
You got to go in order.
Right. Yeah.
So you get all the fingers.
Yeah. That's, she was oblivious. She was on stage completely oblivious.
Just going for
just
it.
Just enjoying praying life.
And
students were like, what? They weren't getting it. So
that's amazing.
Mom,
sorry. Sorry if that. Yeah.
No. Don't be sorry. Only at camp.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep it rolling.
Well, I got a story. So I was doing camp at a wonderful conference center somewhere in this country with Student Life. And we had this wonderful meal called Chicken Al Fredo, but I'll call it Chicken Alfredo, because when you see that come across the menu, I'd recommend you dodge it this summer. Unless if you really love Chicken Alfredo and you want to have something like this experience happen to you. So I'd had the Alfredo probably too much after a long day of camp, and you know how camp food is, just kind of like doesn't digest all the way sometimes. And so I was walking with my staff over to our worship service that evening, and I kind of, you know, got that feeling, and I said, hey, I'm going to have to pick up this conversation a little bit later. I'll see ya. Made my way to the first restroom facility in the conference center, and lo and behold, it was full, and so I went over to the other side, and it's unfortunate. This conference center only had two bathrooms for the guys and two bathrooms for the girls, and so this is not where the story gets bad, people. It gets much worse. And so I get to the bathroom, and luckily for me, there's an open place, and so I go and, you know, take my time. And what ended up happening is a student walked into the bathroom, I guess. He had the same experience with the chicken Alfredo. And he was pretty anxious when he was sitting in the bathroom. And I was kind of sitting there. I was like, hey, man, are you okay? And all I hear is, So I was like, buddy, what's going on over there? And he goes, you'll never understand. I said, plain and simple, I said, did you poop your pants? And he in the most cowardly way, but I understand he said yes.
Oh,
and
no.
So poor this buddy. Is, again, the story does get funnier. This is the low point. And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, hey, man, like, what can we do for you? And one of our values here at Lifeway, do one more thing. I was like, let's get you a new pair of pants. We'll get you taken care of. And so the kid, he goes and he, you know, we get him back to his room and he gets taken care of. And then it was funny because the next day I was with my staff and I was like, guys, I got a funny story to tell you about what happened last night with the Alfredo. And I tell this story to my team, and the whole time, this one guy is laughing his head off. I said, man, what's the big deal? He said, well, I was sitting in the bathroom shortly after dinner, probably about the same time as you, and a kid came in wondering if he could go to the bathroom, and I said, you're going to have to go over to the other side, buddy. I'm taking my time.
So. Oh, no. Oh. It's the staffer's fault.
The staffer's fault. That being said, if you are a staffer listening to this podcast, please think of other people. Get out of there as quickly as you can.
Oh, my gosh. That was a turn I wasn't expecting.
My story doesn't quite go in that direction. But my first summer of camp, actually, producer Nathan was working there as well.
Yeah.
We were at Fuge in New Orleans. And one night, towards the middle of the summer, our whole staff got woken up because the fire alarm was and the sprinklers were going off in the guys' dorm. And so all this whole boys' dorm has to be evacuated. So, which, you know, 2 a.m., boys don't have a lot of clothes on, and it was a crazy time. We put them in the auditorium. They watched a movie. They were fine. Well, the next morning, come to find out, what had happened was some guys were just playing a casual game of Ultimate Frisbee in the hallway, and they had flooded the whole dorm, which was great. It's something to laugh about. Well, then a few years later, I was sitting at a table with some staffers, and somebody said, hey, Carrie, did you ever have anything crazy happen with anything? I said, yeah, actually, one summer I had some guys were playing Ultimate Frisbee in a dorm, and they flooded the whole dorm, super expensive for the church. And I see this boy at the table, all the color drains from his face, and he says, Carrie, I need to tell you that that was me. And he said,
oh my goodness.
And that was also him. And he starts pointing to this table full of guys that we have hired to be staffers that had been playing in the dorm. So even if you maybe have some guys in your youth group that just cause all the trouble, they can go on to be great staffers.
Wow.
That's good.
A true redemption story. Yeah.
True, yes. Redemption at its finest. I have a story similar to Alex's. This is when I was, I think I was a ninth grader at camp. It wasn't one of these camps.
Please tell me you weren't the kid that was looking at the bathroom.
No, that was me. No, it wasn't that.
Full circle.
I had a camp leader. We did our own camp, and so like he was our Sunday school teacher, and he went with us as our camp like counselor. And it was the first day of camp, and he thought that he was going to be, like, super cool. And sometimes to, like, young guys, like, flatulence can be kind of cool. And so he thought that he was going to be really awesome and just rip a big one, right as we got into our cabin. And do you remember back in the day they had those shorts? The brand was Umbro.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like real thin shorts.
No.
Well, he proceeded to start with what he thought was going to be just a loud noise and through the Umbros and down the leg ran some Alfredo. And we all died laughing, and he jumped into the shower. And that was day one of going into ninth grade camp for me.
And I remember like being at camp as like a middle schooler, and one girl like thought that the pool counted as a shower. And so by about day 3.5, it was like, what's happened in here? And it was the girl who thought that the pool counted as a shower, and it does not. You got to be clear about those things.
No, the ocean doesn't count.
Yeah.
The pool doesn't count.
The pool doesn't count, those things.
Rain doesn't count.
Sweat, yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah, nope. All right. Somebody else. Pete.
We pride ourselves on doing whatever it takes to make sure that churches have a great experience at camp. And there's one particular church, and I don't know if you're listening, but you're about to get a shout out, that whenever he would fill out his request form for camp and where he wanted to house his certain students, he would always put something unique on there, something that we hadn't heard of before, just to see if we would actually do it. And so the first time he did it, he said, "When I arrive at camp, I want framed photos of Nicolas Cage in my room when I arrive." And so we saw that and we said, "We don't know why he wants this, but if it serves a church, we'll do it."
Yeah.
And so we shipped framed photos of Nicolas Cage across the country, got his key early, and set them up all across his room so that when he walked in, there was just this shrine of Nick Cage in there.
I love that.
And this past year, he said, "I want a dinosaur in my room to protect me and to protect my belongings from my students." And so me and my team, we said, "How can we make this happen?" And so we ordered a giant inflatable dinosaur, and we made a little name tag on it that says, "Hey, my name's Bruno, and I'm here to protect you." And I was the lucky one who got to deliver it to his room. But while I was on the journey to get to his room to deliver it, something came up that I needed to attend to, and I actually had to go and meet with the director of the conference center. And so I walk into this head honcho's office, and I've got this giant dinosaur right next to me, and it says, "Hey, my name's Bruno, I'm here to protect you." And he looked at me and said, "Do you need to be protected from me?" And I said, "I don't know where this meeting's going, but I'm doing it for the church."
There you go.
I love it.
Awesome. Okay, so this one's on my sister. So I was directing the camp, and my sister was on the team, which was really fun. Her name's Riley. So, Riley, if you're listening, hey. But so we have a time at Fuge during the day that's called Track Time Rally, which is where they're all getting together kind of in a circle to prepare to go to their track times and to find their groups. And so we encourage our Bible study leaders, don't just be out there taking role, like interact and have conversations and have fun with your students. So Riley was really trying to do that. And you've got a lot going on in your brain as a staffer during this time because you are taking roll, you are holding a sign, and with your third and fourth hands, you're counting students and you're doing all of these other things. So she was kind of paying attention with one eye, and she sees this student and she's like, "Okay, interaction opportunity." And she goes to the student, like I said, half paying attention, and says, "Hey, I like that sword in your backpack. That's a cool sword." And he looks her square in the eye and says, "That's my leg." So I know, y'all. I don't even know if the story's legal on the podcast, but here we are. So Apparently what my sister failed to notice was that this particular student did have a prosthetic leg. And I guess the one in the backpack, I don't know much about this stuff, but I guess it was like a backup or like an off-roading version or something. I don't really know, but she drew attention to it. Luckily, the student was really serious with her, and then he just busted out laughing. Like, he was really
cool
about it.
Such a good sport.
Yes, such a good sport. But Riley was mortified and apologized at least 84 times that
week.
That's
fantastic.
That is so good. Man.
This is Tanner with Student Life. This is like a couple of small stories. I just think camp is so crazy because so many, like, you never know what you're going to see students do.
Never.
Like, there's so many random things that just blow your mind. Like, year after year at camp, I'm just like, what's going on with students? And so, like, even before this meeting, Peter and I were talking, and he talked about how he, at breakfast one morning, saw a student fill up their bowl of cereal with Frosted Flakes, started walking in the milk, and then paused and backed up, and then filled his milk up. Instead of milk, filled up his bowl with Dr. Pepper as the beverage to eat his Frosted Flakes with.
No.
So commitment for the sugar high of that day.
Oh, yeah.
I also have seen a student walk around campus with a Sharpie pen, having other fellow students and staffers sign his forehead. And
classic camp.
I think by the end of the week, he hadn't showered and his arms were filled as well.
Right.
But I think my favorite was one time I was walking across campus during free time and saw a student. He looked like he was about to go scuba diving because he had flippers on. He's wearing a swimsuit, no shirt, had one of those inflatables that goes around your waist with like a horse coming out of the inflatable. He had goggles and a scuba like mask type going on. And I just saw him flipping and flopping across campus. And I was like, I'm just going to watch and see where this happens to go.
Yeah, it was a good decision.
So I probably should have stopped him in the moment, but I was like, I've got to see this. And so I followed him, and then we get to the center of campus, the big green area, and there's this kiddie pool full of water. I don't know how they made it happen, but there's a kiddie pool full of water, and then him and four of his friends have this all decked out kind of floaty system with snorkeling masks. And I was like, I'm impressed, but hey, guys, I need you to go put a shirt on. And
so they brought it. Like, they set up the whole thing.
Yeah, they set it up. Don't know where they got the water from, because it was a solid 100 yards from, like, a close building or something.
Wow.
So it was impressive.
Commitment.
Okay, so middle school boys, we are dismissing from opening celebration. So it's just mass chaos. There's, you know, like 1,000-plus people trying to leave the same room at the same time. So think with me, heavy auditorium doors and middle school boys playing. And one student kind of puts his hand on the door near the back, like where the hinge is. And then the other student decided that he was going to try to close the door. I know everyone's cringing. Sorry, podcast listeners, earmuffs.
I can't.
The friend with the hand near the hinges did not have a good time with this. Just the tip of the finger was pinched, the tip of it. And so they come and find us, and the tip of the finger was still in the door when the student was no longer near the door. But then here comes the request, and we'll do anything to serve the church. So they say the church had already left to get this student to the hospital, and they said, we really need you to bring the tip of the finger to the hospital.
Oh, man.
And you know what we said? We said, we're on our way. And so some of our staffers went, open the door. And can I be honest? This is a detail you don't want. But it looked like a piece of chewing gum just closed in there. It really did. But it was there. And we didn't have a cooler. But what we did have was a bunch of freeze pops that were frozen. So we put a bunch
again,
of
camp.
Yes. We put a bunch of Missions freeze pops in a bag, put the chewing gum tip of a finger into said bag, and delivered it to the hospital. And that was it. So it worked out great. The kids stayed at camp and had a great week. I'm sure the Lord moved.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Shivers.
Yeah. The fingerprint scan will never work for you.
No.
That's for sure.
Oh, wow. Anybody else before we move on to the next topic? Is that one going to close it down? The tip of the finger.
Yeah, I had thought of one, but it just it pales in comparison. We're just going to move on. Yep.
All right. Let's end on this. So you talked about the ways that camp has been, where God has moved in your life personally because of camp. How have you seen, and all of you have done a lot of summers, either on staff full-time here or as a part of camp, how have you seen God move in the lives of students as you have been able to be in a leadership position at camp and kind of be able to look out over the whole crowd and get to know different churches? What are some God stories that stand out of things that happen in the lives of the people that attend camp?
I think there's just something really unique about camp. And I think one of the ways that God works so wonderfully at camp is that he brings people to camp that might be like kicking and screaming, trying to get there, but he really wants them there for a specific purpose. And then once he has them there, an incredible work happens. And just this past summer, there was a student pastor who was there, and he just had a really rocky relationship with his son, and his son was in high school. They had just grown far apart, and the son didn't really want anything to do with the church or with the Lord, and the father was really heavy-hearted about it. And he came to camp just to help out, and to, I think he helped drive down there, and he came into one of the services at night and heard the gospel message proclaimed. And repented. And what was so crazy that night was the dad was so excited that he said, man, I don't know what the policy is around here about baptizing, but we're at a college campus and there's a pond right outside of the worship center that we're doing. So I need to go baptize my son. And so he went out there to do it, and he had a large group with him. And then all of a sudden these other groups started to come out and witness it as well. And there was about probably 300 or 400 people just surrounding this little pond, watching this dad baptize his son. And the son, who didn't want anything to do with the Lord at the time, was now committing his life to Christ, and he went under the water, came up, and they hugged, and it was one of the most powerful moments I think I've witnessed at camp. But, you know, the Lord wanted him at camp for a very specific reason. You know, he was thought, oh, I'll just make a little money. I'll help drive down here. But, man, his eternity was changed that week.
Mm. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
There was my first summer working for Student Life. We were at this location, and it was great. We had a ton of people in this basketball arena that we had turned into a worship center. And one of the churches, they had let us know during their check-in process, as we were taking prayer requests, they said, hey, one of our girls, she couldn't attend because she's had a hole in her heart for her entire life, and she just got paired for a heart to get transplanted in. And so we talked to the camp pastor, and he said, yeah, like, if we could, like, let's pray for her. And so it was really cool. We kind of got her on the phone in front of the entire camp, and the camp pastor kind of led us through a time of prayer over the girl. And the next morning, she was going in for open heart surgery to have it transplanted. And it was crazy because we, you know, you do that, you know, you pray for big things and you hope that God is going to do something. But you kind of move on from that moment, and that can just become one of many moments that happens at camp. But what was unique about this situation is the next night, during the afternoon, the pastor came and found the camp director I was working under and said, hey, I just want to let you know, the doctors, they went in for their pre-op, and they they took the camera in, checked out her heart, and actually the girl's heart was completely healed, had no hole in it. And she's not going to need the surgery anymore, and she's hopefully going to be at camp with us for the rest of the week. And so that evening, getting to share that with 1,300 students that we had packed in this gymnasium, man, you never know. That girl never knew that her story, that it was going to take her so long, and I'm sure that her parents were wondering for years why a healing hadn't occurred for many reasons. But it's incredible because 1,300 students saw a miracle happen, and 1,300 students now get to attest that they believe in a big God who they've seen do big things.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's truly incredible because I go back to that location a lot during the summer, and various locations throughout that area, and I'll still have people talk to me about it 5 years later about that evening at that college campus. And so it's stuff like that is just, you can't replicate anywhere, and it's how the Lord works through camp. And you never know how your trial is going to be the thing that encourages many other people when God steps in that situation. So
good.
In 2015, I was working camp at Belmont, and one night, it was first night of the week during worship, I saw this girl who you could tell did not want to be there. And so at one point, I saw her just get up and leave the auditorium. So kind of followed her out, just so didn't know where she would go, and just started kind of talking to her. And she just told me, my parents made me come, and I'm so mad, and I don't want to be here, so you can't make me go back in that room. So I just sat outside with her for a while, heard her story a little bit. The next day, I talked to her student pastor, and he said, you're right. We honestly didn't really want to bring her, because she's so angry all the time, but she's here. It'll be fine. We'll make it through the week. And so the next night, same thing. She refused to go into worship, so I hung out with her for a second night. And then finally, towards the end, I said, hey, why don't we just go listen to the last song? You said earlier you liked music, so why don't we just go listen to the last song? It's like, fine, you've been really nice to me, we'll go. And so we went in, we listened to the last song, it was great. And then the next day, she said, hey, I liked that music last night, maybe we can listen to all the songs tonight. I was like, great. So we started listening to the songs in the beginning and the end of the service, which was awesome. But then I started seeing a change in her. Like, she actually started listening to what the pastor was saying. And by the time the second set of songs came around, she was raising her hands in worship, and it was just amazing. And so afterwards, she said, hey, can I talk to you about what the pastor was talking about? Because I think he might have been talking to me. Like, absolutely. So I actually got to pray with that girl as she told me she wanted to follow the Lord and become a Christian, which was amazing. I did the whole thing through tears. But then the next day, she came up and said, Carrie, can you believe I got to tell someone about Jesus today? And they listened to me. And wow. So the fourth day of camp, she actually herself shared the gospel with a kid at her mission site, and that kid came to know the Lord. And so it was just so amazing to see that whole process of the Lord not only bringing her from death to life, but also using her in the life of another student. Even though she came kicking and screaming, student pastor didn't even really want to bring her. It was just amazing to literally see her whole countenance change, everything. It was one of the coolest experiences
over
ever.
Over the course of 4 days.
4 days.
Yeah, wow. That's amazing.
So for several years, we've had a long-term relationship with IMB and NAM and doing missions offerings and different things like that. And 1 year in particular, I remember.
So for those of you that may not be familiar with IMB is International Mission Board and NAM is North American Mission Board. Those are two entities in the Southern Baptist world that do missions across North America and the world.
Yeah, and so over the years, we've take up a missions offering, and we've done given millions of dollars to both of those organizations. And but one night we were watching a film that the IMB had produced. It was on the Door of Hope, and it was it's basically about a situation in South Africa where if a girl has a baby and they don't feel like that they can care for it, they can go to this complex. They open up a door, they place their baby inside, they close it, and they ring a bell. And then somebody from inside the complex comes out and takes the baby, and then they orphan care for them. And as this film is going on, all of a sudden you just hear this murmuring working through the crowd, and you start hearing something. And come to find out, the first child that was placed through the Door of Hope was actually a camper on our campus there that week. And so a couple nights later, she actually got to do a testimony and talk about what it means for this offering to be given and what it meant for her to be able to be a part of the mission offering in that way.
So really she was placed in and adopted then.
Yeah, so her mom put her in the Door of Hope, and then she was actually placed through the people who ran the Door of Hope because it was their first child and they fell in love with her. Yeah. And then I think that couple, as I remember, was like on furlough or something like that, and they were at camp that week.
Wow. What a story.
Great story.
The cool thing about camp is there's so many of these stories that we could keep going on. Like one short one, and then I got one that I thought is my first year. I had a guy who was a student. A couple years later, he was an intern. In my last year of camp, he was a student pastor with me. And so it's just cool to see the growth of that. But one of the greatest stories that comes to my mind was one time at camp, we had a personality at camp pastor who wanted to try and do some sort of moment on one of the nights of camp. And so he had us get some stones and get a kiddie pool. Probably was the same one as Tanner's, who knows. And we did a Joshua crossing the Jordan in the middle of the worship center. And so you have thousands of students, you know, just taking moments together, going through. And it was really cool just to see these times where the students after the sermon, is this is kind of a moment for them to go forward. But the thing that caught me, my throat, just my spirit, was seeing this kid had been in a wheelchair all week. And you had seen him interacting with some at rec. You know, he would go out there, but obviously he was kind of always on the sidelines. But there was a couple seniors who looked over at him and their group, and they went over, picked him up in his chair, walked him across, dipped his feet into the water, carried him across again, handed him a stone, and sat him down. And this young man's eyes were just filled with tears as he was so thankful to his friends and to his church that he could come to camp and could still participate in this and could still have that moment. And I lost it just to see that here was a group of students who, you know, youth groups and fins and whatever it was, I don't know the story of it all, but they were bonded together to make sure that this student was able to experience this and to walk away with a story. And so I love it. It was a great moment at camp.
That's good.
That's amazing. You know, as you have listened to these stories in the podcast, that God has done amazing things in your ministry as well. And stories, I hope that this conversation has hoped to bring some of those stories to the front of your mind and to just kind of sit in gratefulness and thankfulness for what God has done in your ministry. And maybe you don't go to camp, but there are stories of how God has moved at other things that you do that have been brought to your mind. And so I hope that this has been an encouragement to you of how God uses you as a student pastor, your volunteers, how God uses what sometimes is a lot of work to go into event and to drive kids across the country and all of those things that go into having camp and dealing with all of the craziness that goes along with camp. But what we know to be true is that every single year, God uses camp in the hearts of students and adults to draw them closer to himself, to refine calling, to save them, bring them to a place of repentance, to repair relationships, and so many more things. So at the end of the podcast, I just want to end in a little bit differently with you in this podcast, because I know that this is at the beginning of a really critical season for you in the summer. I'd like to end just praying for you that are listening, that your summer would be one that God moves in a mighty way. Mm-hmm. Jesus, I pray that very thing, that this would be a summer that you move in a mighty way in student ministries all over this country. I pray for those that are listening right now, that if it's camp or mission trip or retreat or something that they're getting ready for, God, that you would use it to change lives, that you would draw people close to yourself, that you would refine callings, that you would repair relationships. Lord, that you would reveal yourself in a special way to teenagers and adults in student ministries this summer. And Lord, we believe that by doing that, you could even use this generation to spark a revival in our country. Mm-hmm. And so we pray that the beginnings of that would be in the student ministries of those who are listening right now. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.